I wanted to talk this morning about the birth of a boy to his father and mother. The birth of a child is always a joy to their parents. And in this case, there was a question of what sort of divine intervention was involved with this child. And the questions continue throughout his life for both him and his parents. The birth narrative I'm thinking about and want to look at this morning is found in John, the Gospel of John, chapter 9. We're going to take a look at this chapter and reflect on how we see people. This idea I think I discussed at a class a few weeks ago, the idea of perception, how we perceive people, how we see people. I want to look at it and see that we can fully understand and compare how Jesus looks at people and how we look at people, that we can better understand how our perspective of people has an impact on the relationships we have with them. But perceptions of people has a real impact not only on them, but on our theology when we're thinking about God. If you have the opportunity to open your Bibles, we'll look at John chapter 9, and we're going to look at the first three verses. And it says, as he passed by, and Jesus has just left the temple where people were trying to stone him, and he hid himself and went out of the temple. And as he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he would be born blind? So what can we recognize about Jesus in these verses? How Jesus sees people, even in the midst of his ministry and his mission. It's so easy for us in our ministry to fail to see people at all. But we fail to see people as who they are based on their value. When we're so involved with work and the life that what we have. So as we look at this, none of us would argue that Jesus was a busy man. And in this particular case, he's leaving from a potential stoning and heading out of the temple. So he's busy. And we wouldn't argue that his ministry was important and that the work and the teaching he's been doing was not only necessary, but in fact had an urgency about it and had the need to teach it. And yet in so many references to Jesus' life and ministry, he took note of people and things that would otherwise go neglected or passed by, even by his closest disciples. This man who was born blind is certainly an example of that, but there are other cases, including children who came to Jesus, and he has the need to chastise his disciples who are turning them away and are driving them away in some cases. We want to recognize that Jesus was the one who sees those who might otherwise be passed over, passed by. That's who Jesus is. And we need to recognize that we need to have the same state of mind that focuses on others. Brothers and sisters, we want to recognize our need or state of mind might have put us in a position put us in a position where the people around us may be tempted to overlook us or pass us by. But this is kind of a reciprocal thing, that we have opportunity, but we also have how people see us. And we don't want to neglect others in the same way that we see the world neglect others. And to remember that at those times when we're feeling overlooked, over feeling pass by. At those times, Jesus sees us. He sees you, and he values you, and he loves you in your most needy state. That's the kind of Jesus that we have. So, scripture says that Jesus sees this man. He's born blind at birth. And we recognize in verse 2 that because of his disadvantaged birth, he and his parents have been dealing with speculation about the divine role in his life since his birth. The disciples' question kind of raises that for us. Because we see this question on their minds when they ask, whose sin? Whose sin? His or his parents, that he was born blind? Whose sin is it? And this is where I'm talking about divine interpretation, that they're seeing his blindness is caused by someone's sin. Someone's sin. And whose could it be? Could it be the man, or is it his parents? This perspective is rooted and grounded in the idea that his circumstance has been brought about by divine judgment. Divine judgment brought about his parents, or judgment by God toward the man. They see it as one or the other. The only reason he's blind is because there's some sin involved here. It's interesting how contorted this reasoning is, because in their question, they reveal a challenging theology when they talk about the man. It would be one thing if they said it's because of his mother or his father that he has been blind. But they also say that it could be the man that was the one who sinned for being born blind. So the first question one could ask is, at what point could a man have sinned in the womb because he was blind at birth? And that points out the troubling fact of this kind of idea that people's difficulties are caused by some sin they've committed. I was thinking of some mothers, and I can't speak to this directly, but I have five children. Some mothers may have experienced a very active pregnancy where their baby was very busy, maybe doing some punching, maybe doing some kicking in the womb, and it has left them with a difficult and very uncomfortable pregnancy. The disciples asked, was it the man's sin when he was born with blindness? And how disconnected can that theology be from the reality that's being experienced here? But it was a popular belief at that time. And not only at that time, it's still active today in many cases. Many people still believe this. And all of our sufferings, and if you're having sufferings, it's because you've sinned. That's their attitude. That's their theology. If you've had the opportunity to read Job, you'll find his friends were of the same mind when they questioned Job about his sins. And that's like 1,500, 2,000 years before Jesus. And the attitude was there, that people's problems are caused because they sin. So the question reveals disciples' perspective. The man's condition is the result of divine judgment. That's their idea here. But the question is, whose? Whose sin, right? Is it the man or his parents? So it's good advice, if we are really careful of our perspective of another situation, they must have done something to cause this situation to be, or these circumstances that they're in. That's the attitude that's being expressed here. They must have done something. If they're in that kind of need, if they're in that condition, they must have done something to cause that problem or that condition. We have these same faulty theology sometimes, as the disciples' question reflects. Are we challenged by that same faulty theology? Brothers and sisters, we must be so careful not to hold this perspective about ourselves or others, that we're saying to ourselves, how have I sinned to deserve what's happening in my life? Or talking about others and what sin they must have committed. That every struggle, that every bad situation we find ourselves in, any health challenges we have, or some loss we experience, that that's some kind of judgment, divine judgment by God. We have to avoid that. And so when we look at verse 3, we see Jesus' answer. And it's shutting down of that kind of idea. Jesus answered in verse 3. Jesus answered, it was neither that this man sinned, nor his parents, but it was so that the works of God might be displayed in him. And we can see that in other verses as well. I don't want to divert too much. I don't think I wrote it down. In Luke, sorry, I should have wrote it out here. But in Luke chapter 13, and it's verses 2 through 4. Let's just see Jesus' attitude reflected here as well. And Jesus said to them, do you suppose these Galileans were greater sinners than all the Galileans because they suffered this fate? And it was Galileans, Pilate mixed their blood with their sacrifices. And so Jesus is addressing them and saying, you suppose these Galileans were greater sinners? And he goes on, I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Or do you suppose that those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them were worse culprits than all the men who live in Jerusalem? I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Jesus is trying to communicate that when accidents happen or when things happen, it's not because they sin more than others. And we need to keep that in mind as well as we look at these verses, this situation that the disciples question. And Jesus responds that it's so God his works can be displayed. And displayed for who? That his work could be displayed for us. So we take the time this morning to recognize how vastly different Jesus' perspective was of this man compared to the perception of his disciples. What is revealed about their understanding of this man? And what is revealed about the understanding about God because of perspective, what God sees and what the disciples saw? And likewise, what we might see in others or in ourselves, that somehow we're trying to find out what sin we committed to deserve these things we're experiencing. But Jesus and the disciples see the same man. They're all looking at the same man. They're all looking at the same situation, his blindness, the same problem. But they come to very, very different conclusions about the problem. Jesus sees one thing. The disciples see something else. And their perspective, and this is why I'm bringing this, how we look at the world and how we look at people around us. But that perspective that each of them has changes the way they approach the situation. It changes the response and how they treat the person and how they treat the problem. Let's frame it so we can see it clearly. The disciples say, whose fault is it that the man is blind? Whose fault is it? And Jesus, rather than answering that question, answers with a possibility. Instead of a problem, he notes a possibility. They say, whose fault is it? And Jesus says, what will God do with this? What will God do with this? The situation that you and I might find ourselves in. Difficult situations, right? Tribulations, struggles, health situations, as we mentioned before. How are we going to face these? And what will God do with it in our lives? Is it something for ourselves? Or as we see in scripture, sometimes these things are manifest in our life that we might experience God's grace. We recall Paul talking about the thorn in his flesh. And he talks about it being given so he doesn't boast in who he is and his abilities. What is God doing with this? Is how we, the question we should be asking, not only in our own lives, but in those of others that we see. So Jesus shifts this question from assigning blame for the problem to a purposeful redemption, right? He's going to heal this man. And God's glory will be reflected in that healing, the power that Jesus has to heal him. Something God can do. The text helps us look and see that the works of God might be displayed, is better translated, might be revealed. That we might be revealed in the lives of ourselves and the lives of others. That the things God has been doing might be doing it so it's brought to light. And this is significant because it changes everything. Jesus' approach on this, and it doesn't change the perspective on what God has done, but the disciples are saying, who is God punishing? Framing God in a certain way because of their perception of the problem. They're wanting to know who's being punished, and God wants an opportunity to express his power and glory. And just because of this difference, it changes the idea of who God is, right? By looking not at what God may or may not have done in the past, but it also changes what Jesus is seeing as potentially what God might do in the future. So the man has been blind all his life, but what is God going to do with the future? The disciples looking at the past and obviously the present, and Jesus looking forward. And God looking forward for our lives, right? God has prepared before we were born this idea that we can have a plan, right? God has prepared a plan for each of us that we need to fulfill that will give us joy if we're doing the things God has planned for us to do. If we're doing things that he wasn't in his plan, we're not going to find joy in those things. We definitely will experience difficulty when we're not doing God's work. Because God is trying, the Holy Spirit, which is within us, is trying to direct us to the plan. And we're falling by the wayside. You know, as they say, the blind leading the blind end up in the ditch. So the Holy Spirit is trying to reveal God's plan for us, right? This idea, the works of God might be displayed or revealed. So we want to think about that. Not is God punishing us, but is God trying to focus us on our future? So because of the difference and changes, this idea of who God is, again, not looking at what God may or may not have done in our past, but what potentially God is going to do in our future. And so this shift, this contrast in perspective, it changes the way that someone sees God based on the way that someone sees a person and based on the way that we see a problem. It's this idea of perspective. How do we view what's happening to us in our life. Are we looking at an opportunity or are we looking at a problem? Let's see that this morning. It matters how you perceive people, and it matters how you see problems, because much about how you understand about God and how he works will be challenged or confirmed by the way you see people and the way you see problems. Not only problems in their life, but problems in your own life. And so Jesus looks at the exact same person, situation, and says that this man has this affliction, this challenge present, in order that the works of God might be revealed in him. And so rather than Jesus saying this man is a display of who not to be or what not to do, or his parents as a display for what not to do, Jesus says the man is an open door, an opportunity for God to reveal his goodness. It's an opportunity for God to reveal something amazing about himself, even through a person who's disadvantaged, even through a problem. And brothers and sisters, we have to look at this situation the same way for the things we're experiencing in our life. That we're an open door, that we're an opportunity for God to reveal his goodness. God can work through this and reveal something about himself. Again, perception. How do we see the things that are happening to us? So how does that change the way? And I don't think Jesus is just speaking this about this man who's been born blind. I think this could very well be said to us in our day and our time with some of the challenges, the struggles we're facing, challenges and struggles we're going through, that instead of looking at them and saying, what have I done to deserve this struggle or this challenge? Because we say that, don't we? What have I done? What have I done? That I have to endure this, that I have to walk through this. Is it possible that we can ask a different question? What things might God be able to reveal about himself to me or to others through this challenge or through this adversity? What can he reveal in me through this challenge and this adversity? If I overcome it, or if I stay close to him through the midst of it, what could God do through this situation? How can he reveal himself to others? Again, if I overcome it, if I stay close to him in the midst of my struggles, in the midst of my adversity, what could God do through this situation to reveal himself to others? And through that, I think we find the revelation that Paul gives, and we'll look at this in a moment, in Romans, of God being able to work good in our lives, even though struggles, challenges, sufferings, affliction, and adversity face us. And if you could turn with me to Romans chapter 5, if you have that opportunity. And I want to read verses 1 through 5. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And included in that, that verse 1 is the fact that we are baptized into the family of God. We are now brothers and sisters. We're heirs to the promises that God has made to Jesus, that those who follow him will find eternal life. We've been justified by faith with peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into his grace in which we stand. We exalt or we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And again, we have the promise of spending eternity with Jesus, right? We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we also rejoice in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. Perseverance brings about proven character. And proven character brings about hope. And hope does not disappoint, brothers and sisters, because the love of the God has been poured out into our hearts, poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. And he was given to us, brothers and sisters, at our baptism. We receive forgiveness of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. So I just want to finish by just reminding us to look carefully at the world, to have a better perception of what is God doing through the difficulties and adversities that we face. This idea of having faith and having trust that God is with us, the Spirit is with us, and he's made promises to us. Not that we escape troubles and struggles and adversity. That was never a promise that Jesus made. But that we can trust in him and he walks with us and he is with us and resides in us through the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are a good and gracious God. Father, you've given us so many blessings. And Father, we also, all of us, experience various difficulties and challenges. Father, whether it's a health scare, whether it's difficulty with finances, difficulties with housing. Father, we just know that you're have plans for us. Father, that we might represent you to those who observe us, especially if they know we're Christians. We're always being watched to see how we react to situations that face us. Father, help us to be bold as we challenge the adversities that are in our life. Father, help us to trust in you and have faith in you because you are faithful and you are trustworthy and your loving kindness has no limits, Father. Father, we ask you to bless each and every one of us as we try to be more like Jesus, as we try to be a better example. And Father, help us to be more eyes open to the situations that we face in our lives and the situations others face. We pray all of these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.